Hiya, my name is Lauren Layfield, and this is Your Next Podcast, the podcast which creates a brilliant list of shows for you to try, adding a new one each and every week. This week is a very cool new show from the Daily Mail featuring the one and only Vogue Williams, who you may be familiar with from the blockbuster podcast My Therapist Ghosted Me, which I saw live and it was brilliant. Vogue, I learned today, has 2 degrees, one in construction design and management and another in quantitative surveying. I know. Anyway, this new podcast with Vogue is called The Apple and the Tree and has nothing to do with building or surveying. It's about parenting. In each episode, listeners are invited into the hearts and homes of a different family as they sit down to discuss something they've rarely, if ever, approached before. You'll hear intimate, revealing chats between parents and grown-up kids about their relationships now, but also in the past. So it's really, really juicy. The Apple and the Tree is chock full of the kind of chats we'd all love to have or wish we'd had with our nearest and dearest.
Hi, I'm Vogue Williams. Welcome to The Apple and the Tree. This is a podcast where a parent and an adult child discuss something they've rarely, if ever, talked about before. These are precisely the sort of intimate, deep, and revealing conversations we all wish we could find the time to have in our own lives, but usually don't. Across this first season, my guests talk about love, grief, sexuality, religion, addiction, identity, and so much more. And because we record mostly in our guests' own homes, it's like you've been invited in to listen and share in these very real and very heartfelt conversations.
Tell me all about the day I was born. About when you were young and I was just a thought. The hopes and the dreams you had for me. If nothing else, I just want to see if the apple falls far from the tree.
This is episode one.
So, my name is Sam. We're in Tottenham.
Hi, my name's Lack. I'm in the wrong area because I support Arsenal.
Sam wanted to talk about growing up gay in the Indian community and his dad's reaction to his coming out. Lack knew his son would always remember his reaction and he treated the news with acceptance and understanding. These two are a real inspiration for other families who may have children questioning their own sexuality but are too scared to approach the subject. Let's drop in and join them as they settle in and get ready to talk.
You've obviously done this a few times.
Hmm?
You've obviously done this a
few times. Yeah, because like when you record it's like over there is better, but then with it, if you hear the lights are on.
Great. All right. So why don't you start?
Okay. So one thing I've never asked you is, where were you when you found out that you were going to have me?
I was in England.
Yeah.
And it was sort of September time or something, I think. 93, was it 93? Yeah, I was in England, so... I probably would have been at work.
You don't remember it at all? Somebody tells you some life-changing news, you don't remember it?
I think I was at work because I think...
What, so mum rang you on the phone?
No, I just happened to ring home and she told me. That's nice. Yeah.
And I said, were you excited?
Well, I had to keep myself under control because obviously being around 200 people and having to manage machinery and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Keep your composure, stay professional. But yeah.
Okay. That's nice.
I was very happy.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But don't feel bad. I was hoping it was going to be a daughter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not surprised. Well, there you go. Well, you got me, so I have to deal with it.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. There's no return ticket, is there?
Oh, no, I think you would have been a good, like, sort of girl dad.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because I saw, like, when Ari was born, you were, like, very, very good with her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Mom said she wanted me to be a girl as well, so sorry, you got me. But yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't swap you now, though. Never.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely not.
So I'm the favourite one.
There's no favourites.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Hey?
You've got to have one favourite at least. No, well, there's two. It's not that hard for you to make a decision.
I really don't have a favourite. I mean, if you had to split it down the middle, it'd be 51-49, really. And that 1% is me.
Okay, fine. Fine. So either one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you found out you were having me.
Mm.
And then, so you weren't that excited. So we've established that. And then... You weren't that excited when you found out I was a boy, so that's great. And then, how was it raising me?
Raising you was
a challenge.
No, raising you was pretty simple. It wasn't a challenge at all, to be honest. I mean, you was just quiet, very reserved from the age of 2 or 3, from where I remember. You wasn't really that. You was always in yourself, because obviously you. You just like to be yourself. I mean, but you was a mummy's boy anyway, more or less. So, you know, but you never really caused any hassle.
Okay. So I was obviously a good kid to raise then, but I was always really quiet, wasn't I? I didn't really speak much and do things.
No, you did. You did speak much. You was all right. You were just quiet.
Actually, no, I was different as a teen. When I was a kid, I was like, more expressive. But then as a teenager, I got really quiet. And then sort of like even more
You got quiet and reserved, which I knew there was an underlying problem somewhere.
Mm.
Something's happening somewhere along the lines that you're finding it hard to explain something, you know. And obviously Army being Army, always being picked on at school or something. I thought, no, he's not being picked on. He's not the sort of kid that'd get picked on because you actually quite get on with everybody. You know, you would even...
I was a little bit, but they were like, you know, when your friends have like, you know, banter. I hate that word. But you know, when they have that like whole joke with you, like sometimes it actually hurt, you know, but it was that, it wasn't really like not anybody picking on me or anything like that.
Yeah, other than that, you was okay, you know, there was not really, no dramas, you know, as I would say. I think you was left-handed. I think about, you're left-handed, aren't you?
Well, you was. Until culturally you made me. Mom did.
Not me.
Maybe right hand. Yeah.
Because when I first seen you bowl, playing cricket, seen you bowl left-handed, I thought, that's good.
Yeah.
Pity you didn't take.
Yeah, left-handed kids are supposedly more intelligent. So, play guitar left-handed, remember?
That's true. But, you know, you've done what you've done. And that's it. But I suppose the only thing I probably... You do sports, but, you know, I wish you'd sort of played cricket or something a bit more like that.
Did you always want one of your children? I feel like you wanted either me or Arma to be like a famous sort of athlete or something like that, or be really successful.
Yeah.
I always felt like you wanted that to happen.
Because you know what? Because I when I was younger, I could, without being too big-headed about it, I could have played cricket at a high level and I could have played football at a very high level as well, you know, but... I wasn't going to force you to do it, you know. If you didn't want to do it, you did.
I wanted to do sports, and I've always said this, that I feel like we're gay kids. It's different in schools now, right, because there's a lot more education. But like back when I was in school, so like, 2000s, 2010s, I found it like really hard to get involved in it because obviously like, you know, that whole like locker room, you know, chat and things like that. It was always dominated by like, you know, the overly, you know, hyper-masculine straight kids who would use being gay as like something funny, and they would obviously make fun of you for it. And if you want to thrive in an environment, you've got to feel like you're able to be your confident self and fit in.
Fit in, yeah.
But like from the get-go, they're telling you that you don't fit in just through like words that they're saying that they don't realise impacts you. And that's why like, even though I knew that I had like talents at certain things, I just felt like I couldn't really fit in and be part of a team.
Like, what sport did you have talent in?
Well, why are you asking me that?
I could still probably promote you now.
Listen, but like, I'm not saying I'm amazing, but like, I definitely felt like I wasn't bad to begin with. And if I had the right coaching, I would have had some good skills. Like, you know, I was good at cricket, wasn't I? Mm. But then I was always scared of excelling in it in school in case I got drafted into the team and they wanted me to do that because I just was too frightened to be part of the team and things like that, you know. And on sports day, I remember I would just always, you know, pretend to be crap so I didn't have to get drafted into a team. So
That's really sad, Darius.
Yeah, but that's what happens when people make fun of, like, you know.
But think about the how professional sportsmen who went to sport and then they come out 10 years later that they're gay. So imagine
what they've been through as well.
And it's not as if, I mean, I think the trouble with you was you just thought that you had a typical dad, Asian dad. I think that's where you got it so wrong. Yeah, I think that's where you got it so wrong. You actually didn't know your dad. That's the problem.
Yeah, but I'm not going to know as a
teenager. No, but you didn't, because you didn't realise how approachable I actually was.
Yeah.
You know.
So I was studying for my second year university exams, and up until that point, I had like come across, I think at that time, there was a whole like, the influencer culture was like beginning of like people being, you know, talking about their personal lives on social media. So that was the first time in my life where I started to hear about people sharing their, you know, coming out of the closet experiences online, and I started to realize, oh, there's a lot more people out there who are going through this. It's not just me. And then they became like sort of positive role models for me. So I was able to look at that and be like, you know what, if they can live like that, then so can I. It's not going to be all bad. Yeah. But I did also at the same time prepare myself, because I was like, okay, well, most of these people are white. I come from an Indian family. Yeah. It's going to be a lot worse, you know, with the pressures that we put on our, you know, families to maintain that whole perfect nuclear image. So yeah, so I'm studying for my second year of university exams. And then I think I just watched like one, you know, I was procrastinating. Then I watched another video of somebody coming out. And I was like, you know what? I've really got the urge to like say it now. And I was like, I'm never going to have that maybe ever again. I don't know when, because I'd never had the strong urge to say it as strong as it was that day ever before. So I was like, okay, now's the day, because I don't know when it's going to come back. So yeah, I remember being upstairs, I was supposed to be studying, I was procrastinating, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it now, and we'll just see what happens. I did call my friend, because I was like, I'm coming out to my parents today, so, you know, if I get kicked out of the house, I'll come and stay with you. And in hindsight, that was really selfish of me, because obviously she's studying for her exams as well. Yes. The last thing you want is your friend coming to stay with you when you were like in the middle of a university exams. Like that is really selfish. But like, I was never going to have, I just didn't know when I was going to have that urge or that feeling to ever say it ever again. The courage, you know. So I think I come downstairs, didn't I? And then you were watching the TV and then I just sat opposite you. And then I was like, Dad, I'm. And then there was a whole pause for like about...
No, you didn't. 15 seconds. You said, I've got something to tell you.
Oh, yeah, was it?
You just said, I've got something to tell you. I was thinking, I just hope he ain't going to tell me some lady's pregnant. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you said, have you got somebody pregnant? And I was like, kind of the opposite of that. But then that didn't really make any sense to you, did it? Like, did you actually, when I said that, what went through your mind?
Well, when you said it's the opposite of that, I just thought, all right, okay. Let's hear it. But I had one eye on X Factor and listening. And then...
So basically, I've told my dad I've got something to tell you. And he's like basically saying, I had 50% attention to the TV, 50% on you. because that's not dad behaviour, I don't know what it is.
Well, why should I jump the gun? I'm going to let you tell me. So then obviously, you told me. And as we... train at work for crisis management. So don't make a decision too quick that could affect somebody's life forever. So that was just a natural instinct kick coming. Get on with it then. Get lost, because I'm watching X Factor.
Yeah.
And you was like...
Yeah, but I remember I said, don't you want to hug me? And you were like, no.
because I was watching X Factor. Yeah, I was like, what do we need a hug for? You've just told me, just carry on with your life. You know, and...
I thought when you said no, I thought like, oh, actually, you are annoyed.
Yeah, but I was watching X Factor.
Okay.
We did have a hug after that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, after it finished. Yeah. Yeah. After it finished, and I thought, right, now I can concentrate on what he's just told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, come on, we need to go out and we need to go and have a chat. And I was explaining to you, don't get caught up with the dating scene and blah, blah, because you just be careful. And you were saying, bloody hell, what do you think that is? But I said, look, just be careful. Mm. And that's all I said to you. And then I think we had a hug. I remember we went to go and have a coffee or something,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, and I said, come on. And oh, just whatever I say now, this can impact the rest of your life. You're only going to remember one thing, is my reaction at the time. That's all you're going to, because that'll stay with you forever. Like people say to you, I can't believe it. Your dad just said, yeah, all right, get on with it then. I mean, which I did, which is a natural thing. And also thinking that could have a big impact. The fact that I wasn't really concerned, the fact that, okay, nor did it come into my head, oh, how am I going to tell my mum and dad? How am I going to do this? How am I going to, none of that came into me, because what came into my head was then straight away, you're at school, you're doing really well. Now, I can't really say anything out of the ordinary, well, like sort of, well, when, why, how come, you know, none of that, you know, all that I asked you afterwards, when did you realise, blah, blah, are you sure you are? Sometimes people think they are and they're not, and are you going through a phase? I asked you all them questions like a week or two later, and you said, no, I'm 100%, I am. I said, okay, all right, that's fine then. As long as you know, you're happy.
Did you ever think that I could change?
No, that never came into my head once. As a person?
Yeah.
I mean, as a person, or
like chain sexualities?
No. That's,
yeah.
No, that doesn't. People who think that kind of thing, you know, they're not living in the real world, are they? Really? Let's be honest. You know, they're not living in the real
world.
It's like, well, I say that. Sorry, I shouldn't say that really, because it's just a lack of education, to be honest. You know, Holmes.
But then, why would you say that you were more open-minded than a lot of your friends who are also Indian men grown up in the 70s and the 80s, you know, because many men of your demographic are more likely to have had a negative view of being gay growing up, especially during, you know, the 80s when there was a whole AIDS crisis and things like that, and it was more stigma towards gay men.
Well, you know,
so obviously, what made you, you know, realise it's actually fine, it's normal?
Well, the thing was, obviously, as you know, we had public houses, yeah, from a very early age. So I integrated into Western society very quickly. When I was at school, there was one or two lads that were gay.
Really?
Yeah, and I knew they were.
In secondary?
Yeah, in secondary. Yeah. Secondary school. And I knew they were. And I just knew something wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right. When I was working, we had a one guy, and he was gay, and he was a really nice bloke, and he used to get on with me and your uncle really well.
He was openly gay?
No, he was not openly gay. So anyway, we decided to go out with him one day.
How did you know he was gay, and why did he tell you?
Because you won't let me finish. So I want to tell you.
There's so many questions.
Yeah. So.
Sorry.
We went out with him one day.
Yeah.
And me and your uncle looked at each other and thought he's going to places probably that we would never go to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we were the only Asian males in there.
And yeah, because I can imagine in that time.
So we just went along with him, thinking, okay, we're gonna go out with him, you know.
Yeah.
And he liked his drink just like we did at the time. But you know, you could just what's going on here? Something doesn't fit right, even though nobody's saying that they're gay or whatever, or they're lesbian. You know, you could something isn't right, and then somebody said to him, it was really funny, oh, you've done well. You've done well. And I looked at your uncle and thought, we've done well, or has he done well? What's...
Yeah.
And we asked him, you've done well with what? Uh-huh. He said, oh, you won't understand. But we was only there because he was a nice man. We built up a friendship with him.
So where did you meet this guy?
He worked with us.
Oh, okay.
he worked with us, yeah. So... I think it was a Friday night. That was no, it was on a Sunday. We came to work, and everybody was sort of like laughing at us. Did you enjoy yourself? Yeah. Why? And obviously they were using explicit words and we was like laughing, you know.
Yeah.
Really, you know, just laughing, you know. And there was, so how did it go? What did you do then, the three of you together? Yeah. Do you, what normal people do, went out for a drink, had a laugh, had a chat, and we had a meal.
Yeah.
What do you think? And one bloke in particular wouldn't stop. He goes, come on then, it must have been good. What? What was good then? And then he told us. He told us. He said,
"Your friend, that guy who was laughing,
the guy who was saying he was laughing at us." Yeah. Okay. And he said, "You know he's gay, don't you?" He said, "Couldn't you tell from that yellow tie, little yellow dicky bow?" I said, "No, well, I don't know."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "No." I said, "Well, anyway, I'm not bothered." I said, "We had a good time."
Yeah.
I said, "We had a." I said, "No trouble, no nothing. It was really a good time. It was fantastic, brilliant.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?" And he went, "Oh, right, okay." He goes, "Oh, no, I'll have to let your dad know." No, obviously.
Yeah. But did you stay?
But do you know what the funny part was about with that?
What?
Your granddad was best friends with him as well.
Really?
Yeah.
See, so it was destined to happen.
So your granddad was best good friends with him, and the reason your granddad was good friends with him because I think granddad had helped him financially.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had helped him financially.
Right.
So he was really good friends, and I think that's why your granddad used to just talk about him. Oh, and we just became friends with him. And he was all right, lovely bloke. He was fantastic bloke.
So going back to that night at the obviously a gay bar is what he took you to, right?
Yeah, so, realized after yeah.
Yeah, so you've gone in there. Yeah. What have you seen?
We didn't see nothing unusual. Nobody was on top of each other or nothing like that. It wasn't like that. It was just normal, like a normal bar would be.
Uh-huh.
But you just knew.
Because was there more men in there than there were women? Or like?
Yeah, there was more men in there than there were women. There wasn't that many women in there.
And what were the dress like? Was it like, I'm assuming the 80s? Like?
Yeah, they wasn't dressed like Danny LaRue or anything like that.
Like
yeah,
all members of the YMCA.
No, they were not, definitely not. No, there were nothing dressed like that. And the fact with that, I remember saying to your uncle, he was just laughing at us as well, "We ain't going to catch much in here tonight." Yeah. Right? And he said, "I don't know why you're even looking." You know, just gesture, joking with him.
Yeah. So you saw the value in this guy, obviously, as him as a human being.
Yes.
Before you discovered his sexuality.
Yeah.
So then that was that sort of like when you realised, gay people are just normal people.
It's just normal people. It's just nothing, you know.
What was your exposure
to
the word gay, like LGBT stuff, you know, growing up? Because I know that when I went to school, the first time I ever heard the word gay and realised it applied to me was when kids would say, "Oh, that's gay, that's disgusting, now that's gay, why are you doing that for?" That's what they would say. And then when I realised gay is what I am, I'm like, "Oh, crap, that's bad." You know, I know obviously it's not as significant for you, so you might not remember it, you know, but like, do you recall when that happened, when you realised, so there's other sexualities than just the one that you have, you know, that people like to do other things?
Yeah. The poor bloke's passed away now. It's very strange and odd. I think I must have been about 17. Or 17 when I actually realised. And because the chap said to me, he said, "Do me a favour, just go in my locker." Because at that time, in them days, it didn't matter if you had a drink at work, it didn't matter because we were all alcoholics. It was the only way to get through the shift. And he said to me, "Do me a favour." He goes, "There's a bottle of Bell's in the locker. If you want a drink, here's the key." And I'd already gone up and I heard him shouting me, right? "Come here, come here, come here," right? But it was too late. I'd already opened his locker, you know. And then the material in his locker, and he was an Asian guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Material in his locker.
He had those vintage porn magazines, basically.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Okay.
He did.
Right.
Oh, okay. And I started... The name of the magazine, I started calling him the name of the magazine.
Uh-huh.
And he used to keep asking me, "Why do you keep calling me that?" And I was thinking, it's a bit odd.
Like, you'd know what it is.
You should know what it is. Uh-huh. But he was like, you know, you wouldn't think. Definitely wouldn't think.
Yeah. But see, that's what I've always tried to tell, like, you and the well, I say try, but like that's what I was saying when I came out. Remember that anybody and everybody around you can be. Because when you are gay, like obviously, you know, when you meet other gay people, you know that we're not always like what you will genuinely think the stereotype is. Do you know, you could have like the most manliest, like masculine man who's in the gym all the time, muscular, tall, whatever you want, and he could be gay. I mean, having said that though, you know, obviously if you are, you know, looking very feminine, they're the ones that bear the brunt of most of the homophobia, and like the masculine looking men tend to get away with it because they can hide it better. So it's worth mentioning that. But like, you know, that's really important, I think, for people to realise that anybody can be, like, no matter what you look like.
Hey, it's Vogue here. It's time for a quick break. Now's the perfect time to stick the kettle on and get ready for the second half of The Apple and the Tree. This is The Apple and the Tree. Real people, real conversations, real heart.
There's been lots of, multiple actually accounts of times where gay men or gay husbands have married. They've entered a lavender marriage. You know what that is, right? They've entered a lavender marriage and then they've murdered their partners in fear of them being outed. And that's happened multiple times, hasn't it? And then also there was one couple that was prevalent in the news at the time when I'd come out to my dad. And it was, they were a gay couple called Naz and Matt. And Naz had killed himself after he'd come out to his mom because he'd been living with his partner, Matt, for like about, what is it, 20 odd years?
Yeah.
And then he finally decided to tell his mom. He was Pakistani Muslim male. Family rejected him. He was depressed. And then Matt came home and found out that Naz had killed himself because of the rejection. And so like those, all of these cases, like was what I showed to you. I was like, this is what it causes for a lot of men, like mental health issues within LGBT people is already, you know, significantly high enough as it is. And then to come from, you know, cultural background that has a higher chance of rejection only makes it worse. And I think that's what a lot of people sort of fail to recognize that, you know, happens, because it's all well and good that, you know, we're saying, yeah, like you can be openly gay now, but literally, I know it sounds bad, but like you could open Grindr right now. Like if you go to Warsaw and you open Grindr, you'll see a lot of faceless profiles of like, they call it being on the DL. So like down low Asian men who are married or who say that they're going to get married, but are actually gay and they're, you know, looking to meet men. And then, you know, I've had obviously a few chats with these people, like when they message and, you know, I ask, they will always ask, like, are you out and open? Well, the word is, are you discreet? That's sort of the lingo that they use. And then I'll be like, no. And then that will always open the conversation. It's like, oh, how come you're not? And I'm like, well, because I'm out of the closet. And then they were like, oh, most of the time it's like, oh, I wish I could be like you, but my family just aren't going to accept me. My family, it's just not going to happen. And I could literally do it. It's 2024, but I could go to Warsaw and do it now and it would still happen.
But you know when the family will accept it? Is when there's a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Or he actually does commit suicide and then say, oh, why didn't you just tell us?
Yeah.
We would have been all right. That's the problem.
But that's going back to what I was saying earlier, that like you've got to, parents have to really plant the seeds to encourage the conversation from earlier on to enable that to happen, you know, because if you don't, then people are just going to suffer thinking that like, oh, I can't say anything. The conversation needs to be brought to the table from both ends, because the person who is in the closet is going to be very scared to approach it. Because most of the time, if you do try and bring it up, people will be like, why are you gay? Is that why you're asking? And if you're not ready to come out, you're going to get more scared, aren't you?
That's true, yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, we struggle. Like nobody wants to bring that conversation to the table. But I think it's changing now a bit, because I've gone into schools and I've done like talks and things like this. And the kids there, I saw a girl, she was in a hijab, but she came to me. She said, oh, my uncles, we think he's gay because he's not getting married. He just doesn't want to get married. And we think he's gay. So what can I do to help him, make him feel comfortable to come out to me? So I know it is changing, but like I said, I could still go to Warsaw and Birmingham and open up Grindr and there'll be like 10 profiles of married Indian men, you know, and just like looking for something on the side. Which it's funny, like, you know, but ultimately when you think into this, you know, the psychology of it and everything behind, like what they're going through, it's hard. They shouldn't have to be like that.
I think we're a good 100 years away yet.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
So I, even though I know things are changing, I genuinely believe, yeah, that homophobia will still persist for a long, long time. It's not, it's more accepted now. Of course it is. And we're protected by laws and whatever. But I don't think that it's going to stop people from being homophobic behind closed doors. And I think that will still prevail. But, you know, and because that's what people forget. Like, the homophobic attitudes at home that happen behind closed doors still causes more and more people to be in the closet. But I just remembered what else I wanted to ask you, actually. So one of the things that I think my generation do is talk a bit more openly about, like, their journeys with their sexualities and, like, when they discovered that they were gay. But I don't think anybody really asks their straight parents, like, when did you realise that you were straight, or what was your journey with realising, like, that you like women or you like whatever you like? Like, what was your journey with that? Because especially with, like, Asian parents as well. No, nobody asks their parents like that question, do they?
The second day I was in the nursery, I had a girlfriend.
The second day?
Yeah.
Okay. What were you doing?
Hey?
What were you doing?
Well, because, you know, when you, at that time, you go to school, yeah.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, they're encouraging you, they're trying to teach you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so even the teachers had lack of education back then as well. They were sort of like, you know, who's going to be your girlfriend then?
Yeah, but that's they do this to kids from an early age. You know how they talk about, oh, you can't teach about being gay in school. But then when you send your kids to nursery, they're like, oh, how many boyfriends did you make? How many girlfriends did you make today?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know?
And the thing
but
is,
that's fine.
When we was, and then obviously when we went into, I think it's a reception and that, it was always like that, you know. It was, and I don't know, for some reason, the girls always got on with me, whether it was just they felt comfortable because I never hassled them or anything. And then into secondary school, it was boy, girl, in the form class anyway. You know.
So who was the first person that you looked at and you were like, I like this person?
Bloody hell. I don't remember.
Everyone has their first celebrity crush or something.
Yeah,
you know.
So first celebrity crush. Oh, it only sounds a bit weird, but you might probably have Selena Scott.
No. Who's that?
And my second favourite was Angela Rippon.
Angela Rippon, wasn't she on... She was on Strictly, I think, this year. That's how I know her.
Yeah.
So the 10 o'clock news would come on and you'd just be fascinated.
Put it this way, you went out your way to listen to the news.
Oh, okay.
It's called...
Okay, can I say to you that I actually thought a little bit for a while that maybe sometimes you could have been. And I'll tell you why after, but you go with that first.
No, the thing that I tell you, they used to call me the Brahmachari. But the Brahmachari means, I don't know what it means. I think single man likes to be single all the time.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. But obviously my goals...
Someone who stays celibate.
Yeah. My goals are always different, as in the ladies are always going to be there, you know. You got to strive.
That's so arrogant of you. They're always going to be there.
Well, it's true though, isn't it? You know, it's like being alcoholic, isn't it? The drink's always going to be there, but you're going to end up being gone. You know, that's what I would say. You know, the drink's never going to finish, but you're going to be gone if you don't stay off it. If you don't get off it, and so not really. I think when did I actually start? You know, obviously my mind is obviously a very weird mind.
Okay.
You know, it's very driven. It's focused on what gets put focus on one thing.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's got to be focused there.
Okay.
You know. So.
So what is your age? Like, did you realise? Were you a teenager? Were you like 15? Were you 13? Because I realised, I think.
Hang on, let me finish.
Go on.
That's 17, I think.
That long for you to realise?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Well, obviously, I didn't know what it was, but like, I remember liking the boy in my class, and I was 8 years old because it was in year four. I remember like he stuck out to be like more than anybody else, and then so I guess I had feelings for someone at that age, but having attraction more than feelings, I think, was about like 12, 13. But I didn't realize like being.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, at the end of the day, you growing up, you had a more relaxed mind growing up than I did. You know, so I didn't have a relaxed mind because I always used to think, you're thinking at 200 miles an hour and you always, obviously, without going too much into it, you know, obviously in our culture, it's arranged marriages. Yeah. So your mindset is you use gear.
Because weren't you engaged at 17?
Yeah, somewhere, something like, no, not 17, 18, I think, or 19. Yeah. But you got to, I'm the type of person, I'm speaking for everybody, okay, that's the goal, that's what I've been told, that's what I've got to do, that's it, I've got to focus on that now, and I've got to make that work now, that's it.
So what age were you when you had your first girlfriend?
18, I think. Or 18 or 19.
Okay.
18 or 19.
Well, I'll say
I didn't have one. I had late, but you know, it was very, it was a bit, I knew that once I have one, I want to have many.
Okay. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I knew that was going to happen.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like once you open the bottle, you can't just have a little shot, can you? You got to drink the whole thing. You know. So I just knew that would happen. Mm-hmm. And
okay, going back to actually what you said, that your mom and your sister thought that you could be gay. Why was that? And did they?
Because it didn't really matter to me how I looked, and nor was I bothered how somebody thought how I looked. So they just think, well, he never seen me in front of a mirror. You know,
but being gay would be the opposite. The people say the stereotype is that we're more obsessed with how we look, or like how we dress. No, but I guess because you weren't that interested in women.
Yeah, I wasn't interested because I was always interested in, like, I've got five-a-side today, I've got squash, then I've got cricket to play, you know.
Because you showed no interest in girls at all.
Yeah, basically, that's it. That's what it was.
Yeah. Obviously, you're not, but like, we all think that, like, okay, if I've had this experience, surely my parents might have gone through this experience to learn about themselves as well, because we're all human beings, right? Yeah. So a part of me was like, what would your experience have been with, like, you know, realizing, okay, no, I'm not gay? Did you ever have that, like, did you ever want to try?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you didn't have to try?
No, I've never had that thought, never came to my mind. No. Okay.
Because the only thing that sort of made me think that, like, oh, could it be, is that, I mean, it sounds a bit stupid, but like, your music taste is always like, I don't know.
What's music? See, that's just stereotype.
I know. But
what,
like,
what's music taste?
If
like,
you look
like
at
what?
Your CDs, you had Abba Gold, you had Shania Twain, you had the Take That album. What else did you have? You had George Martin.
Did I have a Take That album?
I think you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, maybe you didn't.
I never had a Take That album.
Okay, George Michael one.
George Michael was just a good artist, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, but consistently,
yeah.
There was, oh, you had the Grease soundtrack.
Yeah. Still got it.
A musical soundtrack.
Still got it.
Yeah. What else was there? So it's a musical soundtrack, Shania Twain, Abba Gold, and then George Michael CDs. I was wondering, like,
do you just don't appreciate good artists?
No, but like, this is the thing, because in the 80s, like in the pop industry, everybody was like,
what about Human League, Depeche Mode, and, you know, Boy, Culture Club, you know? Yeah, Dex's Midnight Runners.
You didn't have those CDs though, did you?
Yeah, but if there's one song in the CD, I don't buy the whole CD.
Yeah, the whole album, yeah. Mm. So I just always thought, I was like, maybe, is there, you know?
Yeah.
So I just always thought from that.
No, basically. Right, that's weird. Just from music.
I don't know, I just thought, like, maybe. And then, you know, it could be. Yeah. I mean, I know, like, you know, now you realise when you're older, you know, it's just silly to associate music with, like, or anything with one type of sexuality. But I just thought that, you know, musical soundtrack, it just sort of, like, gives a whole maybe vibe. And obviously, you never had more kids after me, so.
No. I'll tell you now. But, okay. but from the music, I'm a bit surprised.
That was the only thing.
ABBA were brilliant.
Yeah.
Back in the day, wasn't it? Everybody likes ABBA.
You like your big divas as well. Like, actually, I forgot to say, like, you know, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that being played in the house.
Was that not talent?
Yeah, it is.
You know?
But it's just, when you look at it from an outward perspective of all of these people in one, it just made me feel like, oh, that has a very gay music taste, you know?
How can you say that's, so that's specifically targeted to gay people, is it?
I know what you're saying, but like from a, you know, like most gay men will listen to, like, nowadays, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Rihanna, and be like a big fan and have those albums, you know. But you shouldn't really. I mean, the lesson to be learned here is that you shouldn't, you know.
What about, you forgot about Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine?
Yeah. But it just always made me wonder, you know, like, we all have our journeys and things like that. It just, from that, then my thought process moved on to, oh, would, you know, you have ever had an experience? Would you have ever, you know, to find out what you like and what you don't like and things like that?
No, unfortunately, I grew up with a very closed mind, you know, focus, you know.
Yeah, of course you did.
You know, No, not at all. But, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of if I did.
Mm-hmm.
Does it? Doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah.
You know, then there's no harm in having a bi-curious thought, is there?
No, not really.
It can happen. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah, like even gay men have, I think, have it more often and more open to sharing about it.
Yeah,
you know. But I feel like straight men just don't talk about it as often, because I think, like, naturally as humans, we must all think about it at some point, you know. But I think, like, because gay men have to talk about their sexuality more often, we get asked these questions. We're more vocal about it. About our experiences that, like, we've had.
No, I think you're more vocal about it because you think you're not, because you've got this thing about you. Say, oh, I'm not being accepted. I want to be accepted. I want to be accepted. So you got to keep banging at the door.
Yeah, well, there is a fight that we have to, you know, bring.
Well, that's what you think. You think there's a fight, but sometimes that isn't, the fight isn't there, is it? You're creating the fight yourself.
Yeah, so I have, you know, like myself, I've thought about it sometimes, like, do I like women and things like that, because...
And he was telling me that girl who tried to kiss you once and he was just like...
Yeah, I just started laughing.
Yeah, he started laughing.
Because I was like, yeah, no, this is not... No, because I was like...
Imagine how she felt.
Yeah.
You know, imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I just started laughing because I was just like, do I like this, do I not? But then I was like, this is really funny because, you know, if it goes ahead, then everything that I've thought about myself is a lie. And I was just so confused. And I realised I didn't like it in the end. I just started laughing about it. And then she thought I was laughing at her.
Yeah.
And then she left.
Yeah. I feel sorry for her. She must have demoralised her.
No, after. When I told her I was gay, and she was like, oh, it makes sense now. It's fine. And then it was all okay. And it was cool. No one ever thought anything else of it. But because for me, like, I've always thought it's a spectrum. Like, you can change. Like, not change, but you can always... Sometimes you might like one thing more than the other and you know, move through it. And I just wondered if that's how it is for me. Have I taught myself to be like that? Or is that something that all of our past generations have gone through, you know, and just don't share?
It's a difficult one, isn't it, really? You know, everybody's journey is different, isn't it? You know, everything that you've gone through. I think for both of us, I think you're lucky, the fact that I'm of an open mind and approachable. And I'm lucky because the fact that you've actually understood that and thought, you know what, I can... Because the relationship's got closer ever since, you know. So, you know, you can pick up the phone to me whenever, blah, blah, this problem, that problem. But I still do wonder sometimes when you know, about your relationships. How old are you? 29, you know.
29, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the fact that I've never heard you say, oh, Dad, I'm in a good relationship now. I've never heard you say that. It's like, oh, well, you know, how it sounds, like, oh, it's always like that.
Yeah, because I think when a lot of gay men don't go through, like, exploring relationships in their teenage years because we spend all those years in the closet. So when you are in your 20s, you're doing everything that your straight counterparts would have done in their teenage years, most likely, not for everybody, obviously. And so you're learning and navigating. You know, and also then when you are a gay man in London, in the modern age, in the modern dating scene, it's really hard because everybody has accessibility to the next person. There's all these apps. And I feel like back, obviously, when you were younger, you know, if you met one person, it was like, right, okay, I'm going to, you know, I've got a gateway to, you know, open up something with this person. Whereas now it's just like, right, I've spent the night with you. Let's look on Tinder tomorrow, who else I can talk to. People are going on dates, multiple dates with multiple people at the same time, and they're making a decision at the end of that. So if you're on a third date with someone now, it doesn't mean anything because they could still be on, like, the sixth date with someone else and, you know, trying to decide if they like you. So that's why, like, dating for gay men is really hard, I think. And it's just modern dating, and then on top of that, being gay, you know, because men are more... don't really want to keep it in their pants as well. They'd want to just see everything that they can get.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It's true. But yeah, dating's hard. That's why. But I'm in a relationship with Gino now.
Are you?
Yeah, no, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm just waiting for you to ring me and say, oh, it didn't work out, you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean waiting for that?
The normal. No, but how long's that one been now then?
Been about a year and a half.
Wow, you're doing well. You're doing well. Year and a half.
Yeah.
That's good. Who's keeping it together, though? You or him?
I think that's out of the context of the podcast.
I'm just wondering who's actually putting more effort into it.
It's equal.
No, that's good then. Yeah. You know, I don't want it to. It's not good if it's, you know, 51-49. It needs to be equal.
Yeah,
because you could end up, you know, again.
Would you mean again? What?
You know, being single. You know.
You say it like it's a bad thing.
Well, you do need to have somebody around you sometimes.
I'm trying.
Even if you're not talking to them, you just make sure they're around you.
You know? Got companionship.
Yeah. You know, ever since you come out, did you ever think that I might turn around and say to you, well, can you change?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, of course.
Why?
Well, I obviously didn't know what your stance on it was and what your level of education about it was, because a lot of people, that's the common question that the parents have, is that they want their children to change. Oh, don't worry, it's just a phase. And so I was worried that you were going to ask me, and I was worried that, like, you might look at conversion therapy and things like that, because that's also...
I think you are a Capri or something.
But, you know... yeah, I was worried, but okay. Obviously that didn't happen.
No, it's all right, because I just thought that. I wonder whether he's waiting for me to say something like that, you know? Because sometimes you can have weird thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
I just wonder. I always meant to keep asking you that, but I need to ask him that. And then obviously other topics take priority, and then I used to just forget. I need to ask Sam that one day, and then I thought, no, I'll forget it. He's gonna think that's a bit random, Dad, why are you asking me that? Yeah. You know, it's a bit random.
Well,
after the horse's bolted.
I did think about it, because I was worried that I would have to, you know, potentially go through that, and you might want to enforce that on me.
Somebody had asked me about that. Do you think you could do a conversion? Do you think you can convert Sam?
Yeah,
I said, to what? To what he already is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not possible. It's just not going to work. It was only made illegal on the NHS in the 80s.
What?
Conversion therapy. They used to do it on the NHS. To conversion therapy. So you would go and they'd make you drink like a liquid that would cause you to vomit while you're watching gay porn. So they would think that psychologically you would then look at that and think it's disgusting and associate that with wanting to vomit. So then that would make you straight. Could you imagine?
So, how did Sam and Lack feel about the conversation they had today? I sat with them after the recording to find out.
It is scorching in this room, by the way, so I apologise.
It's okay.
Okay, first question is, why did you decide to do this?
Do you want to go? Should I go first?
Well, basically, I decided just to do this because you came out to me and I saw how important it is for parents to be able to support their children in a situation, regardless, doesn't matter whether it's coming out or not. And I think ever since Sam came out, I think we have a much stronger relationship.
Yeah.
That's why, for me, for other parents to be able to see that you don't need, it's not the end of the world.
Was it a shock to you?
Do you know, I'm quite a laid back person.
I'm already getting that vibe.
You know, I'm saying the shock in the sense, the fact that it was a little bit, but it wasn't to the point that, oh, well, how am I going to handle this? It wasn't like, because I was too busy watching X Factor.
I thought it was obvious. I was just like, it's not going to be a shock.
I don't think it's that obvious.
Do you know? Well, you've not seen me on a Saturday after a few drinks. That's why.
But within your community, is it like, how is it to be coming out as gay?
It's not easy at all. Yeah. It's really hard. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, was because I think for people in, you know, my community, whether they're South Asian, whether they're from a religious background, you know, it's really, really tough to come out the closet, because they don't really talk about being gay in general. The conversation isn't really happening around that at all.
Yeah.
So there's so many like queer closeted kids who don't really get the representation that they need, or they don't really have their sort of conversation that they need for to help them, you know, come to terms with themselves.
Yeah.
Happening on a, you know, much more normal scale, or a bigger scale than it ought to be. So, you know, that's why I wanted to do that, to sort of help people realize that, you know, we do exist, and, you know, we do suffer. A lot of us do, because we're in the closet, because our culture is so like, pressurizes you to be a certain way. And that certain way is very heteronormative and very needing to be, you know, this sort of dutiful, you know, good son to the have the perfect nuclear family, you know, and that sort of, you know, helps you. That's the ideal that you need to meet. That's the ideal standard.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, so many queer kids can't do that. And then they grow up fearing that they're going to, you know, get to that point and having to disappoint their family. You know, they have to live with that from when they realize that they are, you know, queer or that they are LGBT.
Were you worried that you were going to disappoint your family?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I was so worried because my, not you so much, but I know that like my mom, because she had an arranged marriage to her, it's really normal.
Yeah.
So for her, she was like, you know, they're going to grow up and they're going to have wives. And she thought that, oh, maybe, you know, we'll find him a nice wife from India and things like that. And she used
to, was that the plan for you?
It was, wasn't it, to an extent, from her
side? It wasn't my plan.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was
arranged. You're just happy to go along with it. Yeah. You're great.
Whether it was arranged or not, it was just like, you know, my mum had this idea of, we want there to be, you know, daughter-in-laws and grandchildren in the family. Yeah. You know, I think as any parent wants, you know, for their child, they like to see that they're, you know, gonna have a family of their own. But with us, with Indian kids as well, and with South Asian kids, there's just the added expectation of, you have to do it because that's the ideal standard for you to, you know, show the community that you're doing well, because now you've got a family. It's not like, oh, you do it whenever you want to. It's more of a pressure to do it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's there's no conversation of it being outside of the heterosexual standard, you know. So
no, you don't ever hear that. And how did your mum take the news?
She was she cried, didn't she?
Well, tears of joy.
Well, yeah, it was your brother, wasn't it? I think it was sitting around the table. I don't know what we was discussing. We were discussing something, and he just blatted it out.
Stop. Yeah. Your brother did it for you.
He did it for me, but like, I wasn't angry about it. It was like, because I was quite emotional that day about some other things that were happening. And then she was like, what's going into you? Like, what's so sad for? It was Father's Day, remember?
Yeah, that wasn't even the topic. The topic was something else, the usual thing. We'd sit around the table, we'd be all right for the first 2 minutes, and then we'd turn it into an argument about something, you know. And
that sounds like a normal family.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And then and he just said it, didn't he?
I don't know why. Because I was getting annoyed about something, and I got really emotional. Because in the couple of weeks leading up to that, I'd already come out to like my dad and him.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then she was like, why are you so emotional for, like, what's going on with you? And then my brother was like, oh, it's because he's gay. And I was like, excuse me.
And then, what did she, your mum's obviously come to terms with it.
Yeah. So she
blamed me, didn't she?
Yeah, she was like, it's definitely come from your dad's side. So she initially was like shocked. It was quite scary for her, because she was like, well, what does this mean? She initially thought that it meant that I might be transgender, or, you know, like, you know, and all sorts of sort of harmful stereotypes, you know, came to her mind, I'm pretty sure. And then immediately, I think the both of you were then worried for my safety, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because they were like, well, what does this mean? Like, how is the community going to react? Like, how are they going to, are you going to be ostracized? You know, does that mean you could be at risk of homophobic attacks, you know, and things like that?
How did the community react?
Well, I've got to be honest, you know, I'm not really too fussed about the community, to be honest. You know, I'm my own man, and you defend your family at all costs. So I wasn't really bothered about the community. And I think we had a discussion, I think, when we said, well, how are we going to tell the family? I said, well, when the time comes, we'll tell them. Don't worry about it. I said, as soon as somebody says, your son needs to get married, I said, we'll have the conversation. Yeah, because somebody will say, and I'm sure my mum or my dad will say to me, when's our grandson going to get married? I said, and I'll put them right. You
know? Has that happened yet?
Well, it just come out on it actually come out in a very weird way, didn't it? The way it come out.
Well, I don't really know much about the conversation you had with my
I'm talking about, I was told, well, I wasn't debating, I was just thinking, when it comes, if, you know, when it comes, I'll be too busy looking good.
Yeah. And I sort of ripped the band-aid off, really, because I went on First Dates. Like a long time ago.
Because it's a good way to tell everyone at once.
Yeah, that's why.
He rang me and he said, Dad, he said, I'm going to go on first date. I said, Sam, you're going to get on. You're Asian, you're gay, you're Muslim.
I tickled the diversity boxes. He was like, you're gay.
I said, you'll be getting on there. I said, that's a great way for everybody to know, so we don't have to tell anyone.
Yeah, because I just thought that like doing something like that shows like how normal it is. Like I'm not going on there doing something crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like people might assume, you know, with all the stereotypes that they have of gay people. And I was just like, I'm literally just showing that I'm just on a date with someone. Like we're just talking like any, doing normal stuff, like any normal heterosexual couple would. You know, I wanted to, because another thing that I, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this was because we don't, as a generation in terms of mine and the ones that have come after me, we talk about our experiences with our sexuality and things like that and what we went through to find out who we are. But we don't really ask our parents like how they sort of came to terms with like who they are and how they've gone before. Because, you know, surely they have a knowledge of how it feels, because it's a human thing, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
But we often just assume that our parents aren't going to understand how we feel, but maybe they might have had experiences of their own, you know, and they might be more open to it than you're aware of.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a conversation with them, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you both so much.
No, thank you.
That's it for this episode. If you loved listening as much as we did, please do share with your own family and friends. I'd love to hear from you too. You can email at vogue@mailonline.com. Leave a comment underneath this episode on Spotify, find us on Insta and TikTok at Apple Tree Pod, or even leave us a voice note on 077-966-57512, especially if you have a story that you and a family member would like to share. See you next time.
The Apple and the Tree is available on all platforms right now. So just search for it on Amazon, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen to podcasts. Once you've tapped follow for that, don't forget to tap follow for this show too, so you can find your next podcast. All my recommendations from the whole series will also be on Podcast Rex at www.podcastrex.com. That is www.podcastrex.com.